He's in very good health. Has his exercise program, his walking program that he keeps up with our little baby out here. Toby walks him anywhere from 3 to 5 miles a day when he gets him out. And he does this every day. And he says we're going back to Europe this year. We're going back and see Portugal one more time before the communists take it over. They're getting pretty strong over there.
Does he feel a real connection to Portugal?
Yes, I did. Portugal was one of the last countries to come out. To start industrializing, and they couldn't have done it without the dictator they had. Salazar was very good for Portugal. I don't know too much personally about it, but I know that he brought a lot of industry into Portugal. He brought in a school system where they kids have to go to school for some time, and they have a military program. The boys after 18 had to go into the service for 2 years, and I know that is an argumented question here, but I am in favor of it. I believe all boys, all children, all young people should have some education that way. And when I got there, the first time I saw old ladies walking barefoot down the street, begging, which was against the law, and I saw kids running around in cold weather without sweaters and barefooted and ragged clothes, and I shed tears, and my husband says, don't feel sorry for them. That's their way of life. They're used to it. But I know that they were cold because I was cold. And I could empathize with them very, very sincerely. I loved the country. Portugal is so much like Southern California that climate-wise and plant-wise, the flowers, the whole atmosphere. But the people are so very, very friendly that they go out of their way if you ask them a question, ask them how to get someplace. Why, it's not unlikely for one of them to say, I'll go with you and walk you a mile down the road to show you where you're going. Or Sherry's bread with you. I mean, they're very, very friendly people. And I really do love to go back. After they held their first election, and when Angola and Mozambique got their freedom, and all these refugees came back to Portugal, they held a big election. The country, not the country, the cities especially. They had to take in all these Portuguese refugees. They didn't have places for them. They didn't have homes for them. The hotels had to take them in. Each hotel had to take 20% of their rooms and give over to the refugees. And Portugal is like all the Latin countries, or most of the European countries, I guess. They have wine constant all the time. They drink wine every day. And all our travels there, I had never seen a drunken person on the street until the refugees came up there. And then the town, the streets were dirty. They were littered with papers and dirt. People sitting on the sidewalks in the sun. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have work. They didn't have places to go. They didn't have anything to do. You'd see just lined up along the buildings, sleeping in the sun. You never saw anything like that before. And then, like I say, the communists were trying to take over, and you never saw posters on the buildings. You never saw graffiti spray painted until that time. And the first time we came into Lisbon and saw that, I cried. I couldn't believe. Lisbon is such a beautiful town, and the streets were always so clean. And the first few years we went, you'd get up in the morning early, you'd see the women out there on their hands and knees scrubbing the sidewalks. The sidewalk is black and white mosaic tile. And you'd see them out there scrubbing these sidewalks with scrub brushes. You didn't see that at the last couple of times we were there. The streets were dirty. And the parks had gone to weeds. They weren't taking care of anything. We're hoping the next time we go back it'll be a little different.
Have you had good women friends throughout the years?
Well, like I said, I'm not a mixer. I have friends, yes. I have some very close women friends. Lay down. I have friends that none of them live very close. We don't have coffee clatches and things like that. I have friends with the neighbors, but most of them work. They're there when you need them, but they're not underfoot. And that's the way I like.
Did you do social things ever with the women that you worked with at Douglas? Or do you keep in contact with any of them?
I kept in contact with a few of them. I still have one friend that worked there. She's a cardiac, and she isn't able to do things. But I see her two or three times a year. Like I say, I'm not a good mixer. Someday the spirit will hit me and I'll drive down. She lives in Seal Beach, and I'll drive to Seal Beach to see her. But she's in and out of the hospital so often that she has angina, and she has terrible attacks of it. I carry a guilt complex with me about her because I should go see her oftener, and I just don't. And I don't know why.
You talked to me earlier off tape about it being hard sometimes that your feelings weren't always understood. And things like that within the marriage or whatever. And I'm wondering at times like that when you're feeling bad and you're feeling maybe alone or whatever, what kinds of things you do to feel better if you have someone to talk to about that kind of thing? How you deal with it?
I have another friend who's in almost the same situation I'm in. She's 10 years older than her husband, and she's almost my age, and he is almost my husband's age, and we can get together and both of us can say things to each other that never goes any further, and that's it. And some days when I get very upset, I'll go down to the store, go down to the mall and window shop, and go down and spend a half a day and walk it off. I get mad enough, I buy something. But I usually just am able to work out my frustrations. I found that out quite young in life. It was the only way Mother could ever make me clean my room, was to make me mad. I'd tear it apart. And I used to do that with the house. But there again, I don't... I have learned to control my temper and my frustrations mostly. I don't let things bother me like they used to. Used to break out my allergies, and I'd break out with rash. And the doctor finally told me that I couldn't live on tranquilizers and medicines to keep my allergies down and my frustrations down. And now I take very few medications, and if I get mad, I go out and transplant some flowers or repot something or drop a pot and break it or something. Anything to... But I have become quite a tranquil person in the last few years. I know sometimes my husband doesn't think I'm that tranquil, but he should have known me way back when. When all they had to say was, "I dare you," and I'd throw a dish at him. I had an Irish temper that used to go up like fire and would come down quite fast too, but I used to hold resentment for some time, and I found out that all that did was upset me, and I would be sick to my stomach and like that, and I found ways to control it that worked. Work it off. That's the mailman. Toby. So that Armand listens to me now when I talk to him. We don't have that too much conflict of interest anymore. After a while, you can both learn to say, "I'm sorry." And it's easier that way.
You've mentioned several times the difference in your ages. I'm wondering if you have fears around that or thoughts about what that means.
I did at the time. I told him that by the time he was 50, I would be 60. And the difference between 60 and 70 is a large difference. And with all these surgeries on my legs, I have had to give up dancing, more or less. And he still loves to dance. Well, I don't mind that. He saves the slow ones for me, and he goes out and swings with... with the friends. And I warned him that I would be growing older. But he was very mature. I mean, I was 40, just thereabouts when we were married. And he was a very mature 30. In fact, he looked almost as old then as he does now. And the difference didn't show up as greatly then as it does now. In fact, if he'd carry my cane, he would look as old as I do now. But he doesn't mind, and he remembers that I warned him of that. And he never... it seems now as if the difference is getting closer than it was before. And this other friend of mine that I spoke of, she's noticing the difference. She was talking not too long ago about how she had worried about that difference, age difference. But I don't think it makes that much difference anymore.
I never did ask you how your children felt about you remarrying.
They loved him. There again, anything they want, give it to them. If they needed help after they got married, go to him, and he was the first one to say, give it to them. I never gave them financial help or anything without them talking it over with him first. Whatever they needed, it was a mutual agreement. And he's been very... very good, and they love him. They remember Dad just as much as they remember Mom. It was funny because at the time, he was young enough to be almost one of them, or it seemed that way when they were all married, but they were all raising small kids, and he was right out there playing baseball and everything right along with the kids. They were having a ball. They thought it was terrific that Dad was out there with them.
You said that Rob is the same age as some of your grandchildren.
He's younger than my oldest granddaughter. She's 6 months older. If you'll shut that off, I'll show you a picture. Now, these two, when they got up into junior high and high school, they would always go to pre-registration at school and go together. They were of a size, they looked enough alike to be twins. And they would always register. She'd Linda Eusebio, Rob Eusebio, brothers and sisters. No, he's my uncle, she's my niece. And we always had everybody all mixed up. And she graduated a year before he did. But she was in kindergarten, she taught him everything she knew. She kept him primed from year to year. And when he got up into the fifth and sixth grades, where they were bringing in speed reading and all the visual things that they primed him with then, the height of his ambition was to beat her score. She was an all-A student, and he was that was the height of his ambition, was to beat any score Lynn could make. Mm-hmm. And he would. He wouldn't stop until he did. And now they bowl on Tuesday nights together, and you should hear them. I tell you, they drive me nuts. I have a heater. I have my husband let the door open.
I'd like to ask you, what kinds of things you've done since you retired? What kinds of things occupy your time?
Oh, I do a lot of needlework, Bargello work, needlepoint. I sew, make most of my own clothes. I read a lot. My time goes awfully fast. My days are short. It just seems like I don't have time enough to get things done that I want to do. I have pictures, like I say, by the box full that I've got to take care of. I've got all kinds of family papers. I have my great-grandfather's army records. I've got a scrapbook I've been trying to set up for 2 years, and I've been accumulating all kinds of family papers and things. I just don't have time to get these things done. Seems like from one, well, we're in the holidays now. I'll be gone for 5 days, 4 days. On the 12th of December, I pick up my mother. My brother and sister-in-law will be here on the 17th till New Year's. And then it'll take me a couple of weeks to wind down from all of this, and I doubt very much if I ever get anything finished. Mm-hmm. I'm just... seems like... I'm not lonesome. I'm here alone all day long, and I am not lonesome. I have so many things going, I don't know where to start. I bake my own bread, which you caught me at last week, which I'm going to do yet today. And I just don't seem to have time to get everything done. I don't know whether I'm slowing down that much or... of what I'm doing, but I'm not finding enough hours in my day.
Mm-hmm. You said that you don't miss work at this point. I'm wondering when you first retired, if you missed it, how that felt.
Oh, it felt beautiful. I never in my life was I able to sleep in the morning. I always woke up with daylight. And I was a person that never needed over 5 or 6 hours sleep a night, and I would be the last one to in bed every night. And when I retired, I said, I'm going to sleep in, I'll stay up as late as I want. And I was still getting up at daylight, waking up at daylight. I love daylight savings time because it gives me an extra hour of sleep. And just in the last year or two have I gotten where I can stay in bed in the morning. And maybe that's where I'm losing my time. Especially now, this last trip home from the hospital, I find I don't, some days I don't wake up until 9 o'clock. I fix a coffee pot at night for Armand, and he has coffee and toast before he goes to work, and he doesn't waken me. And some days, like I say, it'll be 9 o'clock before I'll wake up. But it's unusual for him to come home during the day. And then some days he works, and he goes to computer school one night a week. I have office meetings. He's late, at least he works late 2 or 3 nights a week. And I'll have days here I'll be alone for 12, 14 hours. And it still doesn't seem like it's a long day. And I don't watch soap operas. I never turn on TV. I turn the stereo on sometimes, but never TV. Until after 5 o'clock, I turn on for the news, but that's it.
What are your thoughts about the women's movement?
I think they've got themselves kind of mixed up. I agree with them all the way on the equal rights, but I myself, I like to have my men open doors for me and help me. I like the courtesy of a gentleman, and the men, practically every man I've talked to say, well, if the women want equal rights, they can open their own damn doors and like that. I prefer it the way it was. Though I do agree that when you work side by side with a man, you should be paid the same. You should have equal rights at the polls. You should have equal rights with credit. Equality, yes. But I don't like taking away the man's feeling of respect. That respect isn't the right word for it. I like the courtesy of the old gentleman, of the older. I like to have a man see me coming and hold a door open for me. And I just like it. I really and truly believe the women are going to lose more if they insist on the ERA than they will gain by it. Because I know a lot of women that are going to be hurt when they have to accept total equality. If they want that, then the girl should have to be drafted. I don't think that the girl should be allowed to say, well, that doesn't go with it. But that comes with the territory. If you're going to have total equality, then you have to be ready to go out on the front, out in the lines with the boys, and take your chances. And the girls of today are not ready for that. They kind of want their cake and eat it too, and I don't think they can have it both ways. I know my father told me I was just as good as any man ever, and I've always felt that. And I have never come to the point where I've had too many men try to tell me that I wasn't. Because I could swear right along with them. And I could hold my own. And I worked beside men. I did the same work that men did. And I drew the same pay that men did. And I never had to fight for that. Up to the point of going on up in administration, I didn't want those kind of jobs. And I don't see any reason why any woman in her right mind would want to be a coal miner or run a steam locomotive or anything like that. If they want to, let them. But I wouldn't fight for it. I wouldn't fight for that right. If I had been born 25, 30 years younger, I would have learned to fly a plane. I think that would be fantastic. I know that when I was a teenager growing up, I used to dream of driving a car. That was just, oh. And for a long time, my father said, no way. It costs too much to keep the car going for the boys to drive. And I didn't need to drive. And I wanted to in the worst way. I learned to drive without his permission.